Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Everyone living today will die in the 21st century. We all have different ideas and beliefs about what that will look like, how we feel about it, and what we're doing right now to prevent that truth from happening. But regardless of where you stand on this issue, my guests today will provide helpful information and resources for those of you who, for yourself and also for those you care about. Today we're going to be talking about funeral planning, taking control with confidence. And my guests for today's show are Shannon Shoup, president and founder of Funeral Consumers Alliance Southern California, or FCA Southern California, and Carrie Leversey, advisor and volunteer for Funeral Consumers Alliance Southern California. Today's show is live, and we invite you to join our conversation with your comments and questions. And to do that, you can call us at area code 805-781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875. And thank you, Carrie and Shannon, for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Shannon, you're calling in from where?
Ventura.
Okay, great. And we have listeners in Ventura, so this is going to be topical information for the whole area. And tell me a little bit about Funeral Consumers Alliance, Shannon, what it is and how it started and who it serves.
Sure. So Funeral Consumers Alliances first started in the late 1930s, and at that time they were known as memorial societies. And they were started really for two reasons. One, the country was going through the Depression, and at the same time you were also seeing a significant increase in the cost of funerals, mainly due to practices of embalming. You started to see more expensive caskets being sold. So these memorial societies were formed almost as sort of purchase groups, right? So if you joined a memorial society, you could get discounted prices from local funeral homes for services and merchandise. And so they've evolved since that time. They're now called the Funeral Consumers Alliance. There's a national organization out of Vermont, and then there are local affiliates. And there's between 70 and 80 local affiliates right now. They're all non-sectarian, non-profit educational organizations, and they are started by members of the community who generally observe the need for, that some type of objective, unbiased information in their communities. So I don't know if you have any specific questions, but that's sort of an overview I guess I could talk a little bit too about the information we provide.
So, sure.
Most alliances provide information through their websites or seminars on what your legal rights are, what your options are, maybe information on different ways to reduce the cost of a funeral. But probably most valuable for consumers are price surveys that are conducted in the local communities to help consumers quickly understand relative pricing in their area, because it can be anybody who's had to plan a funeral and sort of figure out cost, it can be very complex, surprisingly complex. So we really try to create some transparency and just make it more simple for members of our communities.
And I'm curious, Shannon, how you got involved with this.
Sure. So I was doing some patient hospice volunteering and just became interested in learning more about really the practice of home funerals in the hospice environment. I can't even remember exactly how it came about, but I learned about the concept of home funerals, and that was really intriguing to me. So I sort of educated myself on that and did a lot of research on home funerals, and then that led me to how we actually practice conventional funerals today, and that was also very interesting to me. And out of that research, you know, I was sort of left with, wow, I had a really hard time compiling all this information. I would really like to create a place where, you know, members of my community could go and easily access this information.
And these alliances, you said, are all over the country. So you actually were the one that helped start or started the one locally to serve this community or communities, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So okay. Funeral Consumers of Southern California was the organization that I started. And it's been a few years now. I think 2011 was when we actually formed our board of directors and became an official organization.
And Carrie, for you, how did you get involved with this organization and this project?
Well, I was shopping for my own funeral. So I lived in a small town of Truckee near Lake Tahoe, uh-huh. and I had one option and very little experience with funeral planning. And I was quite blown away by how expensive that one option was for me. So I started doing research and encountered FCA and started to learn about how much there is to know and how much we can do that we aren't really aware that we can do. And I found a funeral that was probably 30% less, 30% of the cost available to me in Truckee. So it was, FCA was really helpful in planning my own funeral, and I wanted to share that information. So when I moved down here, I was very excited because I had been admiring the FCA Southern California site and resources that were available to the Central Coast community and in some Southern California communities. And so I approached Shannon about adding San Luis Obispo to the group.
And now, Shannon, what areas are on the Southern California site?
So we have a complete price survey information for Orange County, Ventura County, Santa Barbara County, and San Luis Obispo County, and we're currently working on Los Angeles.
Okay, and that when you say a price survey, you're talking about actually if people go to the website, they'll see that it's the different funeral services and there is the cost of those, and it's actually a comparison, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So we evaluate three services. We look at the price of each funeral home for a direct cremation and immediate burial. And then we also look at the cost of a full funeral, and we define what a full funeral is because we actually take the itemized pricing for each of those services and then take the sum of that and put that in the price survey. The direct cremation and immediate burial, those are both required to be on a price list by the Federal Trade Commission. So those are pretty easy to compare because they have to call them the same thing. And so those are easy to get. It's the full funeral that, you know, we've had to define ourselves. And then we also list the cost of the least expensive casket. That's important because people may or may not know that you can purchase a casket from somewhere else. You don't have to get a casket from the funeral home that you choose. We think it's important that people know what the least expensive casket is at a funeral home. We also report whether or not a funeral home is posting their price list online. A couple of years ago, we had a new law passed in California that requires funeral homes to post their price list online. Or alternatively, a funeral home can list services that are required by the Federal Trade Commission with no prices associated. So you have to do one or the other. We're seeing most funeral homes are listing, they're putting their price list online, which is extremely helpful for consumers. So we let you know if someone's posted their price online. or the price list online. And then the other thing we do is we tell you about the ownership structure of that funeral home. So we research and we find out whether or not that is corporate owned or not. And if it is corporate owned, we note that. And that's important for transparency purposes, because when a corporation comes in and, you know, buys the family funeral home, you know, that's at the end of your block that you've seen for decades, they don't change the name of it. So it's not intuitive to someone that that's not the same ownership structure that's, you know, been there for decades.
And does that make a difference in the services and in the pricing?
Well, I think that in terms of does it make a difference in the services, I mean, that's sort of subjective, and I don't know that, you know, we would have a way to really accurately capture that. I would say from our price survey that corporate funeral homes have a tendency to be more expensive. But I do think that aside from that, you know, because we understand how corporations work, that someone, if they had that information, may not choose to use that business model.
I see.
So that's the reason that we provide that information.
You know, you mentioned that you, prior to getting into this, you had done hospice work, and Carrie had mentioned that her kind of entry into this was in planning for her own funeral. How unusual do you find that to be? I mean, how frequently do you find that people are faced with making these decisions kind of in an hour of urgency when it's in the worst possible time for making good decisions?
That's the usual scenarios. People face making these decisions under duress. And so the goal with the website is to make it easy for them, as easy as possible, especially in times like that. And ideally, planning ahead can be helpful, or at least getting educated and empowered in advance would be extremely helpful to make responsible decisions at a time like that.
Now, you've gone out of your way to make this website incredibly informational and interesting. And I mean, I'm assuming that was with intent. Both of you obviously find this topic interesting. I mean, I would think that a lot of people, even people listening to this show, are going, well, that's kind of creepy. Why would I would want to go and plan out my own funeral or think about this in advance? But why would we?
Because it's a significant purchase. I mean, any purchase that I make that's $1,000 or much more, I want to make responsibly. I don't like making big purchases like that in a knee-jerk, unplanned fashion. So while it is creepy, it's unavoidable. It's not like we're going to be making a lot of those purchases in our lifetime, but we're going to be making at least a few of them or a couple of them. And making them responsibly, I think, is a good way to go. Many people spend way beyond their means and get in trouble, and I'd like to help those people and just make it a more normalize the experience, because it happens to all of us, like you said at the beginning
right.
of the show.
Right. So when you talk about, I want to go through some of the definitions that you talked about. You mentioned the words direct cremation, and what does that mean?
Shannon, you want to field that?
Sure. So a direct cremation is really just the service of the cremation and the associated paperwork. So you're not paying for or asking the funeral home or cremation provider to do anything more than the simple cremation. So there's no memorial service. You know, there's no viewing. There's really nothing but the cremation. And that is generally the least expensive cremation option that is available.
And is that something that there's trending more toward, a direct cremation?
Absolutely. The percentages in the state and in the nation are going up quite dramatically. It's somewhat new in funeral lore or funeral history, but it's a significantly increasing choice. in funeral consumers or for funeral consumers?
I want to just let you know, if you're just tuning in to this show, then you are listening to Shannon Shoup, who's the president and founder of the Funeral Consumers Alliance of Southern California, and Carrie Leversey, who's advisor and volunteer for Funeral Consumers Alliance of Southern California. And our topic is funeral planning, taking control with confidence. Today's show is live, and your questions and comments on air are welcome. You are welcome to call us at 781-3875. And we have a lot to talk about on this topic, believe it or not. And we welcome your input. So we've talked about the direct cremation. It seems to be happening more. Are there federal laws around what can happen with funerals and burials? And or are there state laws? How does that work?
There are both.
Okay.
So each state has its own regulation controlling funeral laws within the state, but the Federal Trade Commission, as Shannon mentioned earlier, does play a role guiding the industry overall.
Okay.
It's an in-depth, complex topic, so that's a real simplified version.
And then there's county on top of that?
No.
There's not county?
There are certain policies that happen within the institutions, like coroners have their own policies.
I see.
Hospitals have their own hospices, but they're not laws. Regulations are a statewide thing.
Okay. So when we're talking about rules, if we talk about, you know, Shannon, you mentioned that the Memorial Society started around the 1930s, and the thing that came to mind for me is around that time, there really was far fewer people that were doing home funerals. I mean, we saw, even from 1910, people moving away from using the parlor, if you will, at home for viewings, for family gatherings, and moving into a funeral parlor for that and away from the home. So, you know, with that happening, was there a change in the law so home funerals were no longer legal?
In California, home funerals have always been legal.
Okay.
So that's never been taken away. It's just gone out of fashion.
Okay.
Not out of regulation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think embalming was really the significant event there, right? So
and how's that?
As soon as embalming became a practice, then it that's really, and today is still the only thing a person can't really do on their own, right? I mean, a person, if they wanted to, could take care of really every aspect of a funeral themselves, except for the embalming.
Right.
So I think as soon as that started to become customary, it was then necessary to rely on a funeral home or a funeral professional or embalmer to help you.
Great. Okay.
Plus, with industrialization of society, outsourcing of typical tasks done at home became more prominent in society. So that was just another outsourced task.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we have a question or a comment from Sandy. Sandy, are you there?
Yes.
Question or comment?
Yes. I have more of a comment. I want to thank you first, Shannon and Carrie, for your good work, and for you, Chris, for shining light on what I consider to be a very important topic, and it's a great service to the community. I recently experienced the death of my father, and I have been thinking a lot about that experience and how that is going to impact how I plan for my death and what I would like. My mother died 12 years ago, and I was overseas, so I was quite distant from what was going on in terms of planning the practicalities of the funeral and what that would look like. When my father died, I was very much present, and I realized how inexperienced and how ill-equipped I was to really handle the situation in the way that I would have liked to have handled it. And it's only because of information that Carrie and Shannon are sharing that really helped navigate me through this in a difficult time. So I guess I just want to highlight and testify as someone in here in this local community who is now learning through experience how important it is to think about what one wants for oneself, mm-hmm. and to plan for that, because in my experience, that's the only way things are going to get done.
I appreciate, first I want to say I'm really sorry about the death of your father, Sandy, and I really appreciate you calling. And does this mean then that now the next step for you is for you to start researching and planning for your own?
Yes, it does, very much. You know, the more I think about it, the more I realize that it really is let me say it this way. I realized through my father's death that there were so many options available to me, but the norm was not to go in the direction that I wanted to go, and I felt resistance, and I find it important for me to now think about what I want, to research that, and to know what my rights are and what my options are, mm-hmm. and that I find that extremely empowering. And mm-hmm. My experience was through my father's death that when I met resistance, with it, I pushed through that, and I knew what the facts were and what my rights were. And that's what I find this information that you're sharing so valuable.
Well, thank you, Sandy, for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sandy.
Indeed. So, you know, being able to have the information, being able, when we're talking about not understanding our rights, what are some areas of confusion that people do have about what they can do, or thinking that they absolutely can't cross a certain boundary? Are there certain things that are more common that people misunderstand?
Well, Shannon mentioned embalming. I think that people don't realize that embalming is not required.
Okay.
So people have a choice in that regard. Shannon, you probably have a few more suggestions for that question.
Sure. I think embalming definitely, and maybe more specifically, having a viewing without having embalming. Mm. So we find that many funeral homes are very uncomfortable providing a viewing without embalming. So, and it's important that people understand that that is a preference on the funeral home's part, and they have every right not to offer it, you know, if it's something that they're not comfortable with.
Sure.
However, you know, I would just say that if you want a viewing and you don't want embalming, then you should look around for another funeral home that would be willing to do that for you.
And so we can make this more clear for people too. There is the assumption when bodies are not embalmed that they will decay and that they will not preserve, correct? And you're saying there are some alternative ways that they can be preserved so that a viewing could take place without having to essentially replace the blood with embalming fluid.
Right. It's very realistic to keep the temperature down, as simple as air conditioning the space, the room, the house where your loved one is, all the way up to using dry ice or ice packs to keep your loved one cool to slow decay. And it's not as rapid as people sometimes imagine. It's a really slow, gentle process, except in heat and certain conditions.
Sure. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry for interrupting you, Shannon. You were also saying?
Oh, that's okay. I guess I was, when I talk to people as well, I think about maybe more of an attitude towards death, and that, you know, it's not an emergency in most cases, mm-hmm. right? Especially mm-hmm. if you have someone at home who's been on hospice, you know, maybe you've been caring for some time. You know, it's not necessary to immediately at the time of death call a funeral home and have, you know, someone come right away. You know, death has already happened, and I think I heard someone once say, you know, rather than picking up the phone and calling the funeral home, perhaps you should make a cup or a pot of tea, right? Put on a pot of tea and just you know, give a little bit of space there. So I think sometimes people, we're so, we have such a strong reaction to death in our culture that, you know, we immediately think we have to rush and do something. And the fact is, in many cases, you know, we don't have to do that. And we can take some time.
So, Carrie, can you explain a little bit in the county, in San Luis County, you've done some investigation mm-hmm. about if a death were to occur in the home for somebody who's ill and they're expected to die.
So they would generally be on hospice.
Uh-huh.
And both hospice and the county coroner support taking your time. Neither of them think it's an emergency as well. And they encourage taking a little time to be with your loved one, because the important thing to remember is this will be the last time you get to be with them. And I have tons of experience with people who feel that it's over too fast. So just sitting there, taking in the moment and being present with your loved one at this very important, significant time is really valuable. And so you are supported both with state regulation and with county policies to take your time.
So when you're talking about taking time, can I have, for instance, can I have my loved one be at home with me for a day?
Legally, you are entitled. When you start pushing it past a day, the coroner and hospices get a little uncomfortable because it's unusual practice in the county. But they know that it's legally the right of every California mm-hmm. citizen to keep – it's the legal right of a California citizen to act as their own funeral director. You do not need to hire a funeral home.
Okay.
So you can handle all the paperwork, tend to caring for your loved one, and deliver your loved one to the final resting place, whether it be the crematorium or the cemetery. The important thing is to find a crematory or a cemetery that is willing to allow you to bring your own loved one in, because it's an unusual practice. And
not all of them do.
True.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to take a call here from Ivan. Ivan, are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Good afternoon. My name's Ivan, and I'm 72 years old, so of course I have to be thinking about my funeral, so to speak. I live in the town of Halcyon. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, good. Well, then I'm talking to a kindred spirit here. I am a member of the Temple of the People,
mm-hmm.
and our arrangements for death are that I will be cremated, because it's our belief that cremation gets you into the next plane faster than being embalmed and all that stuff. And our cemetery is located at the corner of Pike and Elm Street, I believe, in Arroyo Grande. And I don't have to pay for anything, and I will have a memorial service. And I don't have to pay for anything. It's done. In other words, it's all free. And you know what free is? It means you don't have to pay for it.
And is that because you're a member of the temple?
I'm a member of the temple, and that's the reason, yes.
Yes. Okay.
So your organization is paying for it.
That's right.
Yes. Okay.
Our town is very small. It only has 100 people. It's like a family.
Yes.
It is a family.
Yes.
And, in fact, they have they're even a corporation. There's a Halcyon Corporation that takes in the money. So in other words, they will pay for the, well, they will just have a funeral for me, a service, and then they'll toss my ashes into the ground,
mm-hmm.
and we'll get a headstone from somebody around here.
So Ivan, I'm curious, how long ago did you plan for your funeral?
I didn't. I haven't done any plans
for
the funeral. I just know
you just know it's going to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm taking care of, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, at 72, you probably have a while to go.
I have quite a while to go,
all
yes.
right. Well, enjoy life in the meantime.
Ivan, I'm curious. I have a question. So will your church
yes.
will your church members be caring for you at the end of your life? Is that the
first point? Of all, it's not a church.
Oh, sorry.
Temple.
Okay.
Will they be doing what?
Caring for you at the end of your life, if you know.
Well, I'll put it this that's, oh yeah, they certainly will be caring for me for the rest of my life. I have I've been married four times, and my third wife is in the cemetery at this point. She did it under her maiden name because she didn't like my last name, which is ULZ, and she wanted to be buried under Tamara Brown, and so she's out there. Another fellow I know who's quite powerful, he's head of United Way, he buried his father in there and had a very expensive headstone. You know, in fact, he's Jewish, and so it has a, you know, Star of David and all that stuff. We can sort of choose, I can sort of choose my funeral in that sense. I don't know what, how grandiose I plan to be, you know, in as far as a caption on it, because I would certainly want to say something besides my name.
Well, hopefully you'll use that space later. Thanks a lot for calling, Ivan.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Thank you for having me talk on the radio.
Okay,
thank
bye.
You.
You're listening to KCBX, your public radio station at 90.1 FM, San Luis Obispo, 91.7 FM, Salinas de Paso Robles, 89.5 FM, Santa Barbara, and streaming live at kcbx.org. It's common in our society to rely on the funeral industry to inform and guide us about our options, what is permissible and legal. Most frequently, this occurs because we end up handling funeral arrangements in the midst of our shock and grief when death has just occurred. Today's guests are sharing information to help us be more informed and prepared when we're faced with funeral decisions, ones that are in line with both our values and our financial resources. My guests today are Shannon Shoup, the president and founder of the Funeral Consumers Alliance, Southern California, Carrie Leversee, advisor and volunteer for Funeral Consumers Alliance, Southern California, and we'd love to hear from you with your questions and comments. You can join us by calling 805-781-3875, and we're going to talk to Wally. Wally, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, did you have a comment or a question?
Yeah, I would just like to know how, if you know anything about the Neptune Society and how they tie in or affiliated with them, or what can they tell me about it?
That's a really good question, since that frequently comes up. Carrie? Right.
So the Neptune Society was a really low-cost way to pre-plan your cremation, but the Neptune Society has gone through a change. A large corporation by the name of SCI is the initials, purchased Neptune Society. So it still operates under the name, but it's a slightly different structure. Did I leave anything out, Shannon?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think it was maybe 5 years or so. SCI did a 70% acquisition of Neptune Society. Just information
to have.
You guys are not
affiliated with them?
Pardon me?
Are we not affiliated? Yes.
No, we are not. No.
Oh.
We actually, we don't offer any services or products or, you know, we don't sell or provide any services at all.
Oh, I see.
And
Thank you.
I want to add, Wally, is we're just an information resource that can be found online at FCASLO.org.
So it's like Frank Cat Adam.
Yes.
SLO.org. And the website, in going to the website, there are videos, there are TED Talks, there are links to some really interesting articles from a number of major publications, all about various topics related to funeral expenses, options, and really worthwhile. You can spend some time on the website. It isn't creepy. It actually is extremely informative and enlightening. So
it's a wealth of information and education.
It truly is. Truly is a wealth of information. We're going to talk to Mary here. Mary, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, did you have a comment or question?
Yes, I had a question about Central Coast Memorial Society.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the phone book, and I kind of checked into it earlier in my life, and it's planning for your cremation ahead of time. But I didn't know if you have any information regarding Central Coast Memorial Society.
We do mention them on our website, and we give their web address to look into. So it's definitely an option in the community to choose from.
Uh-huh. Okay, and you just plan ahead and pay for it ahead of time, and then you're just picked up by them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They work. They have a contract with a coastal funeral home that uh-huh. they offer good deals to their members.
Good. That sounds really good. Okay, I just wanted to mention that.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
I would like to add as well to that to help people understand the affiliates, the Funeral Consumers Alliance affiliates.
Yes.
Some of us do have different models. So, for instance, the Funeral Consumers Alliance of Southern California, we are strictly an educational and resource information hub. We don't have contracts with funeral homes or crematory providers. However, some of the affiliates in the United States do. So it is possible that there would be, you know, that there are affiliates in other areas where if you became a member, you would then get, you know, a discounted price on a funeral service, you know, predefined with a particular funeral home. However, we don't do that, and it actually is the model moving forward for new affiliates to not offer those contracts. One of the reasons we don't do that in California or for Southern California is that we actually have pretty good price competition here in Southern California. So the market has a tendency to sort of take care of that itself. And I did want to mention one of the oldest memorial societies is in Seattle, and they are, to my knowledge, the only memorial society or consumer affiliate that has their own funeral home, and it is a funeral co-op, which I think is a fabulous thing, and they're sort of a model for many affiliates. So if you're interested in looking at their information, or would be if there are people that are interested in starting a funeral co-op, you know, that would be a place to look.
Define a funeral co-op.
Yeah, so everybody sort of becomes a member, and the money that is used to become a member is then put into the funeral home, and if you're a member, then you get discounted prices there. So, you know, there's a board of directors that all of the members vote on, and you have an ownership structure, I guess, like a, you know, a standard co-op. So I think that's a really great, great business model. You know, you don't have to worry about any upselling. There's really no incentive at all other than to give you exactly what it is that you want. And you also have a say in how that business is run. So pretty interesting.
And to add to that, I attended an FCA meeting in San Mateo who invited the director of the funeral co-op in Washington State down to talk about the business model. And it's very realistic and reasonable to consider if we could amass enough people, we could start a co-op either regionally or statewide like they've done.
There's been a lot of, I think, a lot of movement and a lot of discussion about green burials, about people being more aware of their, you know, their personal footprint, not only while they're living, but their personal footprint as they're exiting. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, that kind of surgence and what people are looking at and what some of the options around that are?
Shannon, I'll follow you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we could do an entire show on green burial. I mean, it's really, really interesting. And as you said, I think that people are just becoming more aware of the impact that we have on the environment. And so, you know, it's just sort of natural to, as people who that is very much ingrained in them, you know, everything we do, right? Everything we buy, everything we throw away, our cars, when it comes to funeral planning, that's, you know, those are obvious considerations. So I guess I will start by saying, you know, in conventional burial, you know, we have the practice of usually embalming the body, which is usually formaldehyde-based, which is is toxic to the people who are working with it. And then we have a casket, right, that goes into the ground, which is sometimes made of metal, sometimes made of precious woods. So that's another consideration. And then in conventional burial, you also have a grave liner that is put into the ground. So if you can imagine, you know, a grave site being dug into the ground, and then imagine sort of a huge shoebox made out of concrete. You know, the bottom of that box gets set in so that the top is open, and then the casket goes into that concrete box. The top of that concrete box is put on, and then the grave is filled up. And so all of that is very resource intensive. And in addition, it allows really for not the natural decomposition of a body, if that's something that's important to someone. So our conventional practices are can be a little hard on the environment. And additionally, you know, if you think of a cemetery, most of us think of grass, right? We think of green grass covering it, which we're also learning is not best for the environment, especially here in California, you know, can be intensive in terms of water, and you've got pesticides. And so many people think, well, why not create a burial ground where you don't use, you know, the grave liner, no embalming, and there's no metal caskets or precious wood caskets. And there's no grass, but instead you use plants that are perhaps native to the area, right? And add to the ecology of the area. So these are the considerations that people have when they think about green burial.
Now, are there green burial locations here in this county or in Santa Barbara County?
Well, the extreme green burial is what's called conservation green burial, and it embodies all the principles that Shannon described. And there are no conservation green burial grounds in the state of California. There are some cemeteries that have allocated certain sections of their cemetery grounds for different varying degrees of green burial, and they're called hybrid cemeteries or hybrid green burial grounds. And there is one cemetery in San Luis Obispo County that does have a small section dedicated to green burial. And there are some as far away as Joshua Tree or Placerville. It's limited but growing.
Is it possible for someone who didn't want to have a liner, a casket, to be buried in a shroud?
That is certainly the ideal setup, and the hybrid green burials cemeteries do allow that. There is another option that is not discussed, and I have confirmed that there are choices available in this county and all throughout the FCA, Southern California Territory, and that is full body deep sea burial, which is and can be a very green choice.
And that is a possibility. And that can be done through how?
It is a resource that we will be posting on the website, okay, fcaslo.org, for information resource. And that's probably the best resource I can give right now. Now I'm working with local funeral homes to find a funeral home that will support it. Okay. And there is an organization in Southern California that will travel up to Morro Bay and offer the services. They just need a funeral home to work with.
Okay. Let's take a call here from Bill. Bill, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, you had a comment or question?
Yeah, I've got a quick question. Is it possible to get buried on your own land?
Constitutionally, it is your legal right, but the state and municipalities do not support it. So if it's something really important, you can legally fight for the right, but it's a difficult thing to realize in the state of California.
It'd be kind of late after you're dead, wouldn't it?
Well, you can actually plan in advance for it and arrange it, or there are families that fight the fight after they lose their loved one. It's just a little bit more stressful to deal with it after the death of the loved one that you want buried on the ground in your own property, I mean.
Yeah, the way California is set up, you have to go through all the footwork of establishing a cemetery. on your property in order to be able to do that. So pretty resource intensive. And, you know, I don't know all, I know of one person who's been successful at getting it done that way. But I know that it was a lot of work and I think pretty expensive.
Okay.
Actually, there is another alternative. There are, has a legal precedent for more than one burial that's taken place on private property that did not establish a cemetery. But it had to be fought in court to make real, make possible. So there has been a precedent. We know how the law works. Once one person does it, it helps pave the way for others.
It'll take some work, okay. Bill.
Okay. That's right.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. I'm Chris Kington Barker with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX-FM, the Central Coast public radio station from Salinas to Ventura, and online at kcbx.org. If you just recently joined us and would like to hear the entire show, you can go to our website, kcbx.org, go to the News Talk drop-down, and click Central Coast Voices. This show will be uploaded within about 10 hours of live airing, and you can listen to it at your leisure. We have about 15 minutes left today, and if you want to try and still get your phone call in, you can call us at 781-3875. And I'm going to take a call from Rosie. Rosie, are you there?
I am.
Hi, you had a comment or question?
I actually wanted to thank you guys. I've been, I actually had this question proposed to me today, and you guys are a wealth of knowledge that I'm able to get that information so I could pass it on. I work with the Department of Social Services, and I didn't know you guys existed, but thank you for having this show today, and coincidentally, I happened to be listening to find it.
Great. Thank you for calling in and thank you for listening.
No problem.
And do use the website. It's an excellent website. And again, Carrie, the website is?
FCASLO.org. So that's Funeral Consumers Alliance, SLO.org.
I'm actually there right now and I've been looking through it. So I've managed to print out the information I needed to pass on. Thank you guys.
Great.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So one of the other things that you have on your website is promession. Can you explain what promession is?
Shannon, would you like to field that?
Sure. Promession is a way of dealing with a body after death that was invented by a Swedish biologist. She's a really wonderful, fascinating woman, and the body is actually brought to a very, very low temperature, and it's sort of on a, I picture it as sort of like a metal rack, and then once the body is brought to a very low temperature, the metal rack sort of starts to vibrate, and because the body is so cold at that point, it sort of shatters, and then the moisture is removed, and you're left with remains that actually still are able to provide nutrients to soil, you know, so as opposed to cremation. So mm-hmm. once a body has gone through the cremation process, there's not a lot of organic matter, you know, there, and it's not necessarily helpful for the soil. But this process still retains nutrients. And so I think the vision is that you would be able to perform this process, and then you would be able to take those remains and actually use them, you know, in a probably a green burial type of cemetery where you have a lot of trees and a lot of fauna and flora that are natural to whatever the location is. And that is not approved in the United States. This is something she's been working on for a while. So
and this is something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's actually someone who's also working on a mushroom suit.
Correct. That's right.
Who there's an interesting, I don't know if you have Dennis, the film about Dennis on your website.
I don't think we do yet, Shannon, but you can
go. Yeah, I don't think we do. I don't think we do.
So that can be found at coeo.com. That is C as in cat, OEIO.com, and you can learn about the mushroom suit and see the movie Suiting Dennis.
Suiting Dennis, yes.
I just want to add, cremation is not allowed. It's burial and cremation, pretty much, full body deep sea burial, and you can will your body to science. Those are some choices.
Talk about the willing your body to science.
That takes forward planning, because they want to whisk your body away right away.
Right away.
But it is a free option, basically. If you qualify, you can agree to have your body taken away at death, and in some cases they will return cremated remains to the family. So there is another process called, the slang term or the common vernacular is aquamation, and it's alkaline hydrolysis of the body. It's not legal in the state of California. The closest place is Oregon, Roseburg, Oregon. There are just a handful of states that have sanctioned aquamation. And I actually, as academic chemist training, I like the process of aquamation, but a lot of people are really uncomfortable with the thought of the body being brought down to its basic chemical components and then going into the water stream.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't realize is embalming means all the fluids from the body also go into the water stream. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I hope that aquamation comes to become accepted in California soon.
So we're going to go to a call from Rosemary. Rosemary, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. You had a comment or a question?
Well, yes. I heard a comment about a service we have on the Central Coast, the Coastal Memorial Service.
Yes.
And in case anybody is wondering to become a member or not, it is local, so it's something you can, if you plan to stay in this area, that you can use. And I became a member in my 20s, and then when I married in 1985, my husband, when he came over from England, although he was Irish, he joined the Memorial Society mm-hmm. also, and we were prepaid. And when he died unexpectedly, which is now, we just had the fourth anniversary of his death, we had already talked about the inevitability of his death, that he wanted to be cremated, taken back to England, have the service in his old parish church, and he had promised his first wife when she died that he would be buried with her. So he'd already prepared me over our 27-year marriage that this is what his wishes were. And his name was not on the headstone, just hers. But that's exactly what we did when he died unexpectedly after elective surgery. Central Coast Memorial Society came and picked him up, and then they guided me on what kind of urn to take, what kind of permit I needed in order to travel by air.
Mm-hmm.
So they
mm-hmm.
were very, very supportive and helpful, so that I didn't end up making some mistake and then being denied travel.
Right.
So they were very good. So if anybody's wondering who has used their service in an unusual capacity, then this is an example of how they will do as much as they can to make it easy.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. And Sylvia, we have just a few minutes. You had a comment or question?
Yes, a comment. Thank you. When my mother died in 2006, I was unprepared. It happened quicker than I knew. And I didn't have a casket at the time, and was told that if I wanted to buy the lumber, I could build my own. The casket myself, and I talked with the funeral director, who said yes, that was acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't able to do it, and my son lived too far away. This just happened quickly. So that was the only comment I wanted to make, because I didn't hear it mentioned that you can, and you can save a lot of money that way.
Yes.
So what happened was friends and family got together, and they donated and paid for my mother's casket.
Fantastic. Thank you. And thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, this has been a great show.
Oh,
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sylvia. And so you did mention, but we want to mention again, that all of those options, the urns, making your own urn, making your own coffin, if you choose that, those are things that you do not have to buy.
Correct. You can do this entirely on your own, which is how it's worked for hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah. Yes. Home funerals are legal.
Mm-hmm. In the state of California, they are.
And in fact, there is a movie that's going to be shown on November 9th. There is, it was actually shown for the first time at the Film Society at the International Film Festival, called In the Parlor, The Final Goodbye, that is about home funerals here in California. Mm-hmm. And that's going to show at Embassy Suites Hotel.
Yes.
On November 10th at 7 o'clock, and people can register for that still by calling 544-2266. Carrie, if people, or Shannon, if people wanted to talk with you about the work that you're doing, about questions on the website that maybe they have, how would they get a hold of you for Funeral Consumers Alliance?
Shannon?
Sure. So Carrie has given our website address.
Say it again one more time.
Sure. It's F like Frank, C like Charlie, A like Apple, S like Sam, L like Larry, O like Orange. So FCASLO and then .org. And on our website, you'll find our phone number.
Great.
So you can give us a call at 888-737-3911. And you can also email us at info@fcasocal.org. And that the email and the phone number are both on the website as well.
And being able to, you know, final comments for you about pre-planning?
Shannon, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, sure. So pre-planning, I mean, is absolutely, you know, a great thing to do. It's very helpful for your family who will be planning your funeral. However, we do recommend that you think twice about prepaying for your funeral, and you can find information on our website about that as well.
And what the concerns are about prepayment and mm-hmm. why that may not be the best option.
I
think the best pre-planning is education and communication with your loved ones.
Yeah, and understanding what somebody else wants. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be yeah. their burial, maybe what
exactly.
what they'd prefer.
Yeah, yeah, we strongly recommend that you write out exactly what you want. You can even go, you know, to different funeral homes and even select one that you like best. But again, we just recommend that you really look at the pros and cons of paying in advance.
I want to thank my guest today, Shannon Shoup, president and founder of Funeral Consumers Alliance Southern California, Carrie Leversey, advisor and volunteer for Funeral Consumers Alliance Southern California. Be sure to check out the website, www.fcaslo.org, for a lot more information about our topic today. Next week, Fred Monroe will be your host. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining us on Central Coast Voices.